Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Today I'm going to be preaching again from the book of Matthew, chapter 19. I began this message last week, and the title is How Good is Good? Now this is part two. This will be the last message in this two-part series, How Good is Good? And I'm preaching from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, where a rich young ruler, a ruler of the Jews, a young man who was rich and who was high in religion, approached the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him the question. Look at Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So that was his question. What can I do that I can have eternal life? What can I do for salvation? Tell me what to do. And I think about that, you know, in false religion, that's what they pretty much do. They tell people what to do in order to gain or maintain salvation. But the Lord answers him in a very interesting way, very telling way. Verse 17, teaching him a lesson, he says unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And I mentioned last week how the legalists look at that and they say, well, see there, you can be saved by keeping the commandments. But that's not what the Lord is teaching here. In fact, the opposite. He's going to show this man that nobody born of Adam, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, born dead in trespasses and sins, no one who's a sinner, and that's what we all are, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's impossible for salvation to come to us based on our works, our law keeping. By deeds of law, that is by doing, trying to keep the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what the Lord is doing here, he's going to expose the man, his sinfulness to him. And the reason he asked the question, well, why do you call me good? Is this man approached Christ not as God manifest in the flesh. That's who Christ is. He is the living God manifest in sinless human flesh. God-man, the Word made flesh dwelling among us. And this man did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was God in human flesh. He just thought he was a good teacher. That word master, when he said good master, that just means teacher. You're a good teacher. We know that. What good thing must I do? And so the Lord shows him that this man's standard or measure of goodness is way lower than it ought to be. All he's talking about, this young man, is human goodness in the eyes of humans, as humans, sinful humans measure goodness, human morality, human righteousness, which falls way short of God and his goodness and righteousness. Only God is good. And you see, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to blessing, when it comes to approaching God, when it comes to a right relationship with God, the standard of goodness has to be God himself. It cannot be human beings. That's why the Apostle Paul says it's not wise for us to measure ourselves with ourselves, because we always fall short. And I quoted this last week, quoted quite often, Romans 3:23. Many of you know it. For all have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God. That means we've missed the mark. And here's what it's telling us. It's telling us that no matter how good we try to be, how sincere we try to be, we will always fall short of the mark. And that mark is the perfect righteousness that can only be found in the person and work, redemptive work, cross work, death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no righteousness of my own. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what he says. So where and in order to have eternal life, in order to get to heaven, as you say, we must have a righteousness that we don't have by nature and cannot produce by keeping the law. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:21 that says this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by my keeping the law. Well, shouldn't we try to be the best that we can be? Yes, while realizing and acknowledging that the best we can be is not good enough. And that's why we pray and beg God for His mercy, His grace in Christ. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. The best that I can do is not good enough. And so when he says in verse 17, why callest thou me good? He's not denying, he said, there's none good but one, that is God. He's not denying his deity. He's just simply showing this young man this. If you don't believe I'm God, then don't call me good. Now you say, well, is there no way that I can look around at human beings and say nobody's good? Well, in human terms, we might do that. We might look at a person and say, well, he's a good father. She's a good mother, good husband, good wife, good employee, good boss, all those things. We might say that in human terms. But see, the man's question was about what? What must I do? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? When it comes to salvation, when it comes to a right relationship with God, there is none good. No, not one. We're all sinners. And here's how that goes. Now think about it. The Bible teaches that at our best, if God were to judge us based upon our law keeping, our morality, our sincerity, we would all deserve nothing but condemnation and eternal death. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you don't know the Word of God. You don't know God. Only God is good. Goodness is to be measured by God. And so if you're thinking that salvation is conditioned on something you do or something that I do, then that doing has to equal the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ and His doing. You'll fall short. Lord, Psalm 130 and verse 3, Lord, if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? There's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that's what we have to realize. Well, go back to our text. Matthew 19, in verse 17, he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Only God is good. How good is good? That's the title of the message. Only God is good. How good must I be to be saved and get to heaven? I've got to be as good as God is. You say, well, I can't do that. That's why salvation is by grace and not by works, friend. That's what the whole thing is, and that's what the Lord's teaching this young man. Well, he said, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, how would you respond to that? Keep the commandments. Well, I'm trying. I had a man tell me one time he had a bracelet on his wrist, and it had the Ten Commandments written on it. And I was trying to tell him about salvation by God's grace through Christ and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he popped up that bracelet and he said, right there's my salvation. Well, I read this last week in Galatians 3:10. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's what it says. And it tells us that if you're going to be a doer of the law, you're a debtor. If salvation comes by the law, you're a debtor to do the whole law perfectly. And you're starting out in the negative because we fell in Adam into sin and death. We're born dead in trespasses and sins, and we've all sinned. And what can atone for sin? What can wash away my sins? The Bible says, not my law keeping. My trying to be a better person does not wash away my sins. And let me tell you this today, people. Faith doesn't wash away my sins. My believing doesn't wash away my sins. My repentance, my tears of remorse and sorrow, they do not wash away my sins. What washes away my sins? You sing the hymn, don't you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, why is that? Because only God is good. Only God is righteous. Well, he says, keep the commandments. Well, here's how the young man responds. Look at verse 18. He saith unto him, which law should I keep? Is there one law? Now, you remember Christ summarized the whole law in two laws. Love God perfectly, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, no wavering, and love your neighbor as yourself, no wavering. And your neighbor includes your worst enemy. Well, that puts us all under the condemnation of the law if we're trying to seek salvation. So he says, which? And Jesus said, verse 18, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the summation. Now he quoted to this man the second table of the law. I mentioned this last week too, that the law had two tables. The first table, the first four commandments, has to do with a person's relationship with God. The second table has to do with our relationship with one another, human beings. And why did he quote the second table, not the first table? I'll tell you exactly why. It's easy for false religionists to really brag on their love for God and kind of get away with it in the eyes of people. Because you can't see God. God's invisible. He's a spirit. But when it comes to putting the pedal to the metal, as they say, if you want to know how much you love God, measure it by how much you love your neighbor, even your worst enemy. And there may be people who brag on that. I've had people tell me, they say, oh, I just love everybody. And I look at them and say, no, you don't. And I'll give them examples. Have you ever wished ill on any human being at any time? You know why you do that? Because you're a sinner. I am too. I'm a sinner. Do I love God perfectly, purely, without any sin or contamination of the... No. Do I love my neighbor perfectly, without any contamination of self-love and self... No, I don't. I'm a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we've missed the mark of perfect love, perfect obedience. That's the goodness that we need. How good is good? We have to be as good as God. The human goodness and human righteousness will not measure up. It will not measure up. And so this man, he says, look at verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. This man really believed that he had kept the law. And so he asked Christ, he says, what lack I yet? What am I lacking? You know, I look at this, and it kind of proves to me that those who are trying to keep the law for salvation, either to attain it or maintain it. You know, there are people who call themselves Christians today who will say that salvation is by grace to start off with, but you have to maintain it by your works. And that's just as bad as this young man. What good thing must I do? That's works, salvation. You can't mix works and grace. The Bible tells us that. But they can really have no real biblical lasting assurance of salvation. Because at any moment, any given thought, they might fail. And so this young man, I believe that it shows even in the first way he approached Christ. What he thought he kept the law, but then he goes on to say, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I've kept the law. I've done everything I can," he's saying. "I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to be sincere. What do I lack?" Is there something like, well, let me tell you what he lacks. He lacks the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. You hear me say that all the time. But my friend, that's the issue. The righteousness of Christ imputed to his people is the standard by which God will judge all righteousness and goodness, all works. The Bible says in Acts 17:31, a passage I quote all the time, that God has determined a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Righteousness as measured by a man, a God-man that God has ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. How good is good? Only God is good. Christ is good. He's God-man. I must be as good as him. I must be as righteous as him. And the only way that I can be as righteous as him is to have his righteousness, the merits, the value, the worthiness of his righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. But this young man, he didn't know that. He said, "I know I'm lacking something. What lack I yet?" Well, now look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." You think you keep the law perfectly? You think you love God perfectly and love your neighbor as yourself? All right, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, is Christ saying to him that if you could go, if you do that, then you'll be worthy of heaven? No. This is not a commandment that God gives to everybody. Abraham, for example, was a rich man. God didn't tell him to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor. Now, rich people, those who have been blessed with riches in this world, are to be generous. And they're to help people when they need help. But this is not teaching socialism or communism or a welfare state or anything like that. This is not teaching salvation by giving it all away. What he's doing, he's revealing to this man the problem that one of the main problems that he had, and one of the main problems he had was love of riches, love of money. He loved himself more than others. And if you love yourself more than others, you can't say you keep the law. Besides, I heard one old preacher talking about this man. He said, "You know, if Christ would tell us all to give everything we have, sell everything we have and give to the poor, who would be the buyers in this world? We'd all be fighting each other to give it away." But the Bible doesn't command that. We're sinners. And if we've been blessed by God in any way, health, wealth, or whatever, in such a way, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. This man had the love of money, and it's proven by what happened next. Look at verse 22. He says, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, when that phrase, "he had great possessions," it doesn't mean that he had a lot of possessions or a lot of money. It means he looked at his possessions as being great. He valued it more than anything else. And I don't care what it is in your life or my life that would prove that we don't keep the law, that we don't love God perfectly and we don't love our neighbors ourselves. It is true. And what does that tell us? It tells us that how good is. We must be as good as God. We must be as righteous as His Son. Human righteousness, human morality will not save us. It will not bring us into a right relationship with God. And this young man, what Christ was doing, approaching him where he's at, and showing you don't keep the law. You're a sinner. You need salvation by grace. Well, listen, let's go on in this passage. Look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if he's saying that there's no rich people going to enter the kingdom of heaven, I can tell you right now, Abraham is not there, David is not there, Solomon is not there, and we could go on and on. Philemon is not there. The book of Philemon, he was a rich man, and we could go on and on. He's not saying that if you've got money, a lot of money, you can't. He's talking about those who, like this young man, who love riches more than anything else. The love of money. And he says in verse 24, Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's no way a person who denies Christ and loves money and riches and possessions more than anything else to enter heaven. They're sinners. But now listen, that doesn't mean if you're poor, you're going to enter heaven. They're poor people. Poor people who think more of themselves than they do of Christ or anybody else. They don't believe the gospel. They believe they can still work their way into heaven. So that's not the issue here. The issue here is the problem that rich man had. He loved his money, and he wouldn't part with it. Claiming that he kept the law, loved his neighbor as himself. Well, he didn't. None of us do. Should we try to do that? Yes, but we don't. We fall short. We're sinners, and we will be nothing else. We need a righteousness we can't produce. How good is good? As good as God. Well, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers go on that and then they go back to Jewish tradition talking about a gate in Israel that was low and that people had come up there with their camels and they'd have to take the burden, the load off the camel, and the camel would have to get on its knees and crawl through. That's just Jewish tradition. That's not scriptural. And in fact, in Luke's version of this story, when the word he uses for needle is a surgical needle. So you take a needle that you sew with and look at the eye of it, and he says, it's easier for a camel to go through that than for a rich man to enter that. Now, you can be rich in money. You can be rich in works, rich in self-righteousness. My friend, unless you're as good as Christ, righteous as Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to have a righteousness you cannot produce. And that's what he's saying. It's impossible for a sinner to enter heaven, to enter eternal life, to have eternal life by their works. And so verse 25 says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If this fella, who's a rich young ruler, who is trying to keep the law, if he can't be saved, then who can be? In verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Why is it impossible with men? Because we're sinners. And good can only be measured by God. That's how good we must be. But with God, all things are possible. Well, how is it even possible with God? Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, talking about the gospel, which concerns the glorious person and the finished work of Christ, he says this in verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and the Greek also, the Gentile, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. You see, the gospel is the good news, not of how you can do something in order to enter eternal life, to have eternal life. The gospel is the good news of what God has done and accomplished through His Son, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to produce the only righteousness, the only goodness by which sinners can be saved. And it's not the righteousness of men. It's not the works of men. It's not even the decision of men. You say, well, I know I can't do anything, but I decided this and decided that. If you think salvation is based upon something that you do or you decide, you make the difference, you're just like this rich young man. And you don't have a righteousness, you see. A goodness. How good is good? The righteousness of God is the entire merit, value, worth of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people to bring forth everlasting righteousness and goodness by which God can be just to justify the ungodly. And so you see, this is what it's all about. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 3, it says in verse 19, listen to this. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The word world there refers to all who fell in Adam into sin and death. And he says, therefore, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified before God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faithfulness of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. There's no difference. How good is good? God is good. We're not. God is righteous. We're not. We need Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.